Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next. This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we're going to talk about nurturing twice exceptional minds, a parent's guide to effective teaching strategies. And my special guest today is Christy Faith. She's a homeschooling advocate and author of Homeschool Rising and has had more than two decades of academic and administrative experience in education. She has worked with every level of education from kindergarten through college, including training teachers, instructing students, and advising families. She co-founded and ran a premier educational center and consulting firm in Los Angeles before experiencing an awakening that sparked her transition into the homeschooling arena. Today, she supports families in their homeschooling journey through her membership community, podcast, and social media channels. She lives in Colorado with her husband, Scott, and their four homeschooled children. Welcome to the show, Christy. I'm so glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you. I jumped at the chance. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So we are going to talk about twice exceptional kids and minds. If that is something that's new to you, just know that maybe an easier way to say that is kids who are gifted with a little glitch. And maybe it's a bigger glitch.
I love that.
but just know that kids that have lots of giftedness can also struggle. And that becomes an even more difficult thing to face as we're homeschooling. And because as parents, I know with me, with my twice exceptional kids, I put a lot of the blame on myself, thinking, oh, they're just so smart, but then not realizing that the struggles that they had that came along with that. So super excited about this conversation we're going to have today. But Christy, I always ask my guests when we get started, if they could share just a little bit of the background of their own homeschooling journey or why they're so passionate about the topics or the field that they're working in.
Oh man, yes. Okay, where do I even start? Well, as you mentioned in my bio, thank you, Scott and I, Scott is my husband, we ran a learning center and consulting firm in Los Angeles. So my days were filled with reading IEPs, creating our own individualized learning plans at our center because the public and private schools cannot execute them well whatsoever. Yeah. And we lived in an affluent area where the parents could provide with their own resources help for their kids. And so I would say the majority of our learners at our center had something going on. I mean, really though, who doesn't?
Right.
And and we had a great time. But as the years went on and I'm an older mother. So we had our children a little bit late. And as we were contemplating how we were going to educate our own kids, we were running a homeschool out of our center as well. But it was more of a utilitarian model where we had child actors and athletes. It wasn't this philosophical.
Oh, yes. Right.
I'm going to be a Charlotte Mason mama. It wasn't that. It was we had to get the job done because these kids had their careers early. Mixed feelings about that looking back. But that's what we did. And we started to realize and step back and say, what are we doing? What system are we supporting here? Because these kids are under such a tremendous amount of pressure. The kids who struggle had to just spend more time working on things that were outside of their giftedness. And yes, do we need to help kids who are struggling in certain areas? We absolutely do. And at the same time, we need to protect their childhoods. I had have a sister who has a lot of diagnoses, even as an adult. She struggles. And I am younger than her, but watched growing up her in and out of therapies, how it impacted her self-esteem. And this was in the 80s when she was diagnosed with dyslexia. First off, girls were rarely diagnosed with anything in the early 80s, to be quite frank. Mm-hmm. And she was one. So it was significant. And we had to deal with, my family had to deal with teachers who called her stupid, who called her lazy. She was put in places where she felt physically unsafe in some of the classrooms that she was put in because she struggled so much. So watching her grow up, it really ignited a fire in me. Looking back at the time, because I masked what was going on with me so well, because I should make a disclaimer here. I am twice exceptional myself. One of my kids is, at least one so far. I have some younger ones in my house too. But I really flew under the radar and struggled myself. And it turned into kind of unhealthy perfectionism because I struggled so much in certain areas. We can get into that later. But basically, I got into education and got into starting our learning center with my husband because I wanted to make a positive, safe haven for kids who struggled. And we helped all kids. We also did prep. We did reading interventions and all of that. But I wanted our center to be a place where kids were excited to go. My sister's experience growing was dread. Another specialist, another hospital, another office, another set of glasses that she didn't wear that made her feel socially unaccepted. Things like that. So, it's fun to be on your show to tell that piece of my story because often I leave that part out when I'm getting general interviews. But I love that this is specifically for mamas who are homeschooling their kids that have complicated learning profiles. And I'm excited to share that piece of the story. And I went to a homeschool convention a long, long time ago with the intention of improving our homeschool at our center. Well,
okay.
And I, at the time, it's funny because here I am in education. This is my career. I didn't even know there were different pedagogies. They don't teach that to you in teacher training. So I went to my very first workshop on living books and my mind was blown. And from that moment on, I devoured every homeschool intellectual who's done any kind of writing. I just devoured what they were saying so that I could get an intellectual grasp of what these pedagogies are. And then just realized I came home and I said, not even at our own center, if we were to homeschool our kids at our own center, could I achieve what I truly desire for my family, which is creating a different story than what my sister had and a different story than what I had. So that was kind of, you can call it an awakening. You can call it a deconstruction. I don't know, but it was a big kind of, it led us to eventually selling our company, moving across states, me becoming a stay-at-home mom and homeschooling my kiddos. So that's how that whole part started. How I became more of a public figure is a different story, maybe for a different time, but here we are now. Here I am on your show.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
It's amazing how we get those wake-up times just at the right time. You know, God tends to work, you know, allows us to get those experiences and what we need to take from each place that we've been. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you helped people in that space.
Yes.
And yet when it came to your family and what you needed to do, that's when things really started changing. So, what a cool story. And that you're able to already see things that you can do differently from how you were schooled for your kids now, who may, you know, who are and may possibly, you know, others be experiencing these twice exceptional issues. So yeah, that's an awesome story. I'm glad you saved it for me. She said she wouldn't tell me ahead of the show.
I know. Yeah. Because when I say it the second time to the same person, it's never as good.
Yeah.
As saying it for the first time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's such a complete reversal, you know, and that's what makes such a good story. But you're thriving in this reversal. And that's what I think a lot of people, you know, coming into homeschooling, we go through reversals because a lot of parents in our community start out by saying, well, the school has all the answers. And then they realize that it doesn't. And we can either grieve that they don't, or we can say, well, I'm going to take what I learned from this previous experience and we're going to move on and we're going to make start transforming from here on out and move forward and just be a sponge like you were at the first homeschool, you know, the conference you went to. I love that. You know, living books changed my view of history. When I first started homeschooling, I was like, where were these things?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
well, and I think that when we have children who have special needs and we are in the system, I think it's very easy to go with, well, they should be doing this.
Right.
What do you mean? This is a legal document. You have to be doing these accommodations. And something that I encourage parents, and I do realize not everyone can homeschool. Mm-hmm. Not everyone should homeschool as well. But what I try to encourage parents to realize, and I think it helps in the process of letting go of those shoulds, is that the system was never designed to help your child. The system was actually never designed to help any child. I go through the history of compulsory schooling in my book in the third chapter. And when we finally realize that, the system is not broken. It is functioning exactly how it was intended to function. And it never intended to give anybody individualized learning. Mm-hmm. So they're essentially the entire system of an IEP and all of that is highly problematic for a system that is designed for mass education of huge numbers of children. It's hard to get there. It's hard to get there you're a tax-paying citizen and the school system is giving you these promises that they are going to be able to help your child. And what's encouraging, which I'm sure this is a broken record because you've been doing this for years, there really isn't anything on an IEP other than intervention services, speech therapy, occupational therapy that we can't do ourselves.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, there really isn't.
Yep.
And I encourage mamas that are struggling. I go live once a week in the nighttime. And I do that because mamas whose heart's tugging them and they feel this tension, they're often there because they ask me, wait, what about this? What about that?
Exactly.
I love giving them, being there for them. And I often tell them, go to that file folder, pull out that IEP, highlight anything on there that you can't do yourself. Mm-hmm. And in the rare case, of course, with the therapies, but in the rare case where you can't, you can find it. You can find it. I mean, even OutSchool has, there's resources like, for example, even in the homeschool space, I don't know if your listeners know about Colleen Kessler and her membership. Yeah, where you have a space even for kids to connect with each other and that support group for homeschooling families of kids who are differently wired and different learners. So the resources are there for us and they are better. Right. They are better than anything the schools can provide.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I do a whole talk on the history of special education too, and take people through the law and basically how the law has mandated how schools are run, especially the special ed program. Right. And it had nothing to do with the children at all. It's legally their, you know, what they have required and how they've seen it to be best fulfilled. And when you get your mind wrapped around that, you're like, oh, it's just money and politics, basically. Yes. It has nothing to do with the kids. And and we as parents, we want it to be all about the kids. So we've got their best intentions in mind as we're starting versus people are just trying to get, you know, cut cross off what's required for the day to get through this meeting and to get that IEP done for another year.
Yes. Yeah,
that's exactly the way it goes.
Yeah.
So we're talking about twice exceptional kids today. Can you explain what twice exceptional actually means and just why this is a conversation we should be having?
Well, I'll answer the second question first.
Okay.
I think it's important to talk about twice exceptional learners because they are often undiagnosed and misdiagnosed, and they fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. And although the term and the concept has been around over 20 years, I'm excited that there's more buzz and talk about it now, because growing up being a twice exceptional learner myself, it validates my experience. It makes me feel a lot better about the struggles that I did have and yeah. how I truly had to work so hard to compensate. And I used my giftedness to compensate for the areas that I struggled in, specifically with ADHD that I still struggle with every single day today. So twice exceptional learners are kiddos or adults, anybody mm-hmm. who has exceptional talents or giftedness in one area and then has a learning difference or a diagnosed disability or would be diagnosed disability in another mm-hmm. area. And so what happens when you have a twice exceptional learner is they are confusing to the parent often
yeah.
because mm-hmm. they are gifted in one particular area, maybe intellectually, and then socially, you're like, they seem right. a little bit less mature for their age. This is just one example. The exceptionalities can be, it doesn't have to be something like giftedness and ADHD or anything like that. It can be in any area.
Right.
But they are, and what can happen, I am a huge proponent. I like to make sure that people realize that all kids, gifted, whatever. Giftedness is a special need. So are the other diagnoses as well. And when you can identify your child, now I'm a big believer in, I don't think every homeschool mom should go to an educational psychologist and get her kid tested because
yeah,
we can.
Exactly.
I mean, unless that we're really hitting a roadblock and we got to know what's yes. going on a little bit mm-hmm. more, because they do provide guidance and recommendations.
Yeah, but there is a time and space yes, for that.
Yes, yes, agreed. Absolutely. And we know. But, mm-hmm. You know, the learning is asynchronous in kind of a major way when you have a twice exceptional learner. And
absolutely.
So it can be frustrating. It can cause tension in the home. Mm-hmm. It can cause disciplinary issues. Why aren't you getting this? Or why can't you're so, this is not any language I would recommend anyone saying, but this is just as an example, a cautionary right. tale. You know, you're so smart. Why can't you pull it together? For example,
right.
for a kid mm-hmm. who maybe is intellectually gifted, but struggles with executive functioning, that would be maybe something right. that would be a frustration in your home. So these kids fly under the radar. They are often underdiagnosed and misdiagnosed mm-hmm. or not diagnosed at all in my case. And right. they need help, because what happened in my own story, I go over my story in chapter one of my book, is it led to an extremely crippling and unhealthy perfectionism in my mm-hmm. story, because I had to put so much effort into controlling my grades that it was a problem. It was a problem. And it's something that I like to call myself a recovering perfectionist, but, I don't know if my team would agree. They love me yeah. and I love them. So they can call me out, and they do. So we love each other.
Yeah, that's a really good point, that it is underdiagnosed or misdiagnosed. And I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about mental health issues and how a lot of schooling issues and learning disabilities will lead to that. And I believe that it's even more profound for the kids that know more, that mm-hmm. they do so good in one area and so bad in the other area. Mm-hmm. And then that self-defeat, that self-talk, the depression that comes with that, it snowballs mm-hmm. them. I yeah. suffered from the same thing, because when my son was diagnosed, my mom looks at me and goes, "Well, that's you." And so, I mean, yeah, I did well in lots of things, but I really compensated and then had a lot of issues and just self-esteem in trying to, to figure out, you know, what's wrong with me, you know, and then not being able to navigate social situations. But yes, they mask them very well. But until they can't mask them anymore, and then there becomes these breakdown points or these outbursts. It comes out in, like you said, behavior. And it could come from, shutdown or outbursts, depending on the personality of the student. But then we as parents are at a loss because, like you said, we tend to look at the giftedness and we can't figure out anything beyond that. So yeah, good point.
And I love that you mentioned the mental health piece, because the shame as well, the self-talk that kids, the lies they tell themselves when they're confused, like, why can't I get this? I'm so stupid. Things like that. When if they had an explanation for what they're experiencing, it would be such a thing of freedom for them. And I know it was for me, and it helped me tremendously. Like, oh, this is the ADHD talking. This isn't right. I am actually a brilliant person who has great ideas, but I'm struggling right now because of my ADHD. Just having language for it.
I do really helped believe that
mental health piece tremendously, I think, which is what you were saying. I'm just punctuating your wisdom there.
No, that's really good. So as far as like misconceptions, you know, I guess we've hit on a few. Are there any others that that you want to talk about or let parents know as far as like when, and also if you, I know we've been saying twice exceptional, but sometimes it's referred to as 2E. Yes. So if you ever see that 2 and then the letter E after it, that's the same thing that we're talking about right now.
Things that you asked me about, what else is missed often? Is that what you asked me?
Yeah. Okay. Just misconceptions that about twice exceptional learners.
I think that when your child is gifted, you often think they're going to be gifted with everything.
Ah, yes.
And they might struggle. They might have mismatched skills in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So an example would be they can have a brilliant discussion and read a direct translation of the Odyssey, but they can't write and stay on a line when they write. And you're mystified. And it just doesn't seem to make sense. The social aspect of this, you know, often it's easy to target with the social mismatch. However, that would include something on the spectrum, perhaps. And what we need to make sure the conversation is about is that twice exceptional can occur with anything. It's not autism and this, or dyslexia and this. So how it's going to look is different for every learner. And that's why I love homeschooling, because as mamas, we can be students of our own children and be able to step back and say, okay, she's really great at this, but she struggled here. What could possibly be going on? I think that overexcitability, problems with peer relationships, of course, we talked about the asynchronous development, perfectionism, I think, is a pretty common one that slips in because we know we're smart. So we're like, why can't I do this? Why can't I do this? So we just try harder and we try to control more. So I think that perfectionism could even be a red flag, honestly. I mean, it's a red flag for a lot of things. But, and then of course, that mental health piece, anxiety and depression, and often gifted people have an extremely robust thought life. And so as mamas, we got to make sure we do our best to understand what's going on with their self-talk. Because, I mean, if someone spent a day in my brain, I'm worried for them because there's a lot. I mean, it does not stop. It does not stop. So, and that's what our kids are experiencing too, but they don't have the emotional health. Hopefully adults have more emotional health. I mean, their brain development is not done yet. Their frontal lobes are not fully developed. So yeah. they do not have the wisdom and the self-regulation and the things that we are capable of. So I think personally, the most important piece to protect with any learner who has any difference at all is protecting the mental health. I truly do, because they're going to be fine. They're going to find a career they love. We all have bright futures ahead of us. We're going to find that. What we have to make sure that we take care of is their mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can have a child that struggles that is persistent, and then you can have a child that struggles that caves in. Mm-hmm. And so they could have the same struggle.
Yes.
But the one that is going to succeed is the one that persists through, you know, that has that endurance, that has that ability to see beyond just the current situation and know that there is hope. Mm-hmm. There's something beyond that. And so that's something that we just have to keep instilling in our kids. And as they're younger, this is much easier. As they get older, those teens, that's when they really start, you know, blaming themselves versus blaming the situation.
Yes.
And so there's a lot to be done when kids are younger before you get to that point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm definitely can see why that, and you know, as you were talking to, one thing that I really thought of was that I've got a friend whose son has extremes kind of this version, is that he really, has so many diagnoses, really can't function on his own, yet his giftedness is yet profound as well. And so that's when you see the larger divide. And yet, you know, sometimes we see the smaller divides where, you know, yes, they're good at a subject. They're maybe just good at a lot of like intellectual things, or maybe like with their hands, but then they can't do anything that they, you know, in school. But, so yes, there's just so many different varieties that you can't say this is what a twice exceptional child looks like.
Right. Like you could have a giftedness with problem solving, but a deficit in working memory. And that kid can drive you crazy with math if you didn't understand that. Right? Because you have
exactly. Yeah. Because I mean, and the problem that, or the pit we fall into when we come to this, especially as homeschool parents, is like, well, the curriculum must not be working.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, you try all these curriculums and nothing works because you're not really looking at the child. You're looking at what can fix the child.
Yes. And it could be time where you just stop the curriculum and do intervention.
Right.
I think there is absolutely a time and a place for that. And you will not get behind. When we used to do reading intervention, it was a huge plus if we could at least get the kid to do half days at school. And we were able to do that because we had great relationships with the private schools in our area. We couldn't get it done in the public schools, but we often could in the private. And just to lighten the student's load so that we could get the kid reading. And that is a freedom, a beautiful thing we have in homeschooling, where we can put on the brakes, get our children the help that they need, and not worry for not one single second if they're going to be behind, because it's going to help them later. They will, you know, we already know the data with the Matthew effect, that kids who are behind by third grade fall behind even more. The rate of their catch up is, it basically statistically, if it doesn't happen. So, but those are for kids who have to stay in the system while they maybe or maybe not get the interventions that they need. That is not our story for homeschooling.
No, families. It's not.
Mm-hmm. We can stop even if they're in eighth grade. We can stop. We can save them. Really, truly save them. We want our kids literate. We want our kids to be able to have the skills. We don't want doors closed for them later. So if anybody today is hearing this and just needed that permission, their kid is just... they're drowning in the curriculum. They're not seeming to progress in any area. Just ask yourself, if you're a faith-based person, maybe pray about, do I need to stop? Do I need to find a place to get help to do an intervention for a small period of time so that right. I can set my kid up better later. I don't know. Maybe that just came out of my heart. That was not even anything we had talked about. But no. I don't know. Sometimes that just, I was supposed to say it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we've talked many times on the show is that if your child is struggling and you just keep hitting that, you know, wall, yet you keep pushing on it, you're doing two pieces of damage. The first is you're wasting time because you're teaching something your child is not mentally ready for, or emotionally ready for. And also that what you're teaching is falling on deaf ears.
Yes.
And so you're not only creating a more mental and stable child, a more frustrating relationship between you and your child, but you basically are going to have to go back and redo all that.
Yes.
It just does not make any sense to keep going forward. So listen to what Christy said. Stop, figure out what's going on, and then move forward with a plan. And if you do need to get somebody else involved with that, whether it's an evaluation or just a good friend that can sit in and say, give you a different perspective on what's going on. Or sit, if your child's old enough, sit down with them, ask, talk to them. A lot of times, like with my kids, we just had heart to hearts about, you know, and as they got older, I'm like, where are you going with this? You know, do you want a diploma or a transcript that can get you into college or not?
Yes.
And if not, then what are we going to do? And what do you want to learn?
Yes.
And make it's their story. It's their future.
Absolutely. And I'm a highly educated person myself, but I love this degree-free movement. I think it's wonderful. I really do. And I'm about to interview someone who is a homeschool graduate who is in the multiple six figures degree free. And I think it's important to hear those voices because college isn't a fit for everybody. And there, honestly, I don't even think we need college that much anymore. There are certain degrees, you know, doctor, lawyer, you pass the bar, things like that. But a lot of stuff it's not that we don't need that learning after high school, but we can achieve that outside of a traditional four-year, super expensive college.
Yes, absolutely. And just those avenues that are open and what your student has a calling for and learning to really go into that. And for these kids, these twice exceptional kids, that's a complex thing. And so really, like you had talked about earlier, studying your child. I love that because we really do have to become students of our child. We have to have them try things out, not like say, okay, you're good at this, so do this. No, let's try this out, see if you like it. And if not, then we'll tweak and change it, but there's no commitment. So try to find things that are free or cheap and move forward from there. And
when you are an individual who is gifted, you're good at a lot of things.
Yeah.
And we need permission to tell our kids what you just said. You're going to be good at a lot of things, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to be doing, or you may even want to do them. And I think that is so important. I suffered from that. If I was good at something, I thought that it was what I should be doing. And when those shoulds come into the conversation, they're never healthy. The shoulds.
No, they aren't. Yes, exactly. Because we put social norms in with those shoulds. Like you said, you know, well, if you're good at math, then maybe you should be an engineer, you know, and yet, you know, I was pushed into that. I have a degree in physics. My dad wanted me to be an engineer like him, and I hated it. I've like blew up everything. I became a test engineer, so that was really good. But now, you know, I look at my life and where I've gone from that with all the like the creative things that I love to do. That's what feeds me. Yes, I'm good at math. I can do a math problem, you know, upside down. But I don't want to do it. And so when I homeschooled my kids, that's how the perspective I took, because I didn't want them going and wasting money going into that. And so I really pursued that with my daughter. It was an interesting move because we were allowing her to pursue tattooing. And we're both, my husband and I, don't have tattoos. My husband's completely against tattoos. And he's like, okay, I'm going to support this. And turn around. Yes, I know. And, but we're, you know, letting her kind of discover this. And lo and behold, she has had some health issues, which made her not be able to hold a pen. And her realization over her gap year was, you know, I'm not going to love art anymore if I do this. And it's going to be too painful for me. And some other things we've encouraged her with is that she's just has this really giftedness in details. And so now she's going into archival science. She loves art, but maybe she'll be in the basement of a museum instead of creating the art for the museum. And, but yet it's a journey, and you have to be able to go on that journey with your kids and be able to explore the possibilities and not say one thing is right or one thing is wrong. And they will be extreme.
Yes.
So yes, that's just okay. I mean, I'm sure you didn't imagine yourself doing what you're doing right now ever.
No, I'm supposed to be a history professor right now.
Oh, okay. Well, the world is very thankful that you're not, and you're doing what you're doing.
But I will say that pursuing that advanced degree, it made me a decent writer, and I did not know that I was going to be writing a book in the second half of my life. So I would say that I was thankful for those skills too.
Yeah. So one of our viewers had asked, what's the name of your book?
My book is called Homeschool Rising, Shattering Myths, Finding Courage, and Opting Out of the School System. And Peggy, I don't know if you know this, but did you know that today is pub date? Today is the publication day.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's been on pre-order for several months, but today is the day that it's getting mailed out to all those supporters who pre-ordered it.
Wonderful. So,
yeah.
That's cool. Yes. And we'll share the link for you on our show notes so that you can just click on that and order a copy. So
and if you, I know your audience has a lot of kids with stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And if you have, this book is actually for homeschool mamas, whether it's your first year or your 10th year. But I wrote it with a tone and in a way that it is a great book to hand to friends and family that may not understand why you are homeschooling your children, specifically the naysayers out there who think that because your child has diagnoses or special needs, that you are therefore unqualified. I talk about that directly in the book, and I cut that at the knees so fast, girl, because that one gets under my skin. It's like, who's I can only think of one person who is the most qualified, and that's you.
Absolutely. Yeah. In talking with the lawyers at HSLDA in the past, we've had many conversations, and they say the majority of people who bring cases against parents are those who have children with disabilities because they're the ones who are questioned the most. Mm-hmm. And so it is, it's a more extreme battle for our community than for most people are mostly, you know, say, oh yeah, you know, you can do it. But when you have a child that struggles, you almost have to fight for that right then in your family group, in, you know, you just your church community, everywhere you go, you feel like you have to have, like, you have to be prepared to battle just to say why you do it.
And that reason right there is why I started Christy Faith's List of, it's a nationwide network of homeschool friendly service providers, because I was so frustrated here in my local area. I have a friend who was, went to our local children's hospital to get a dyslexia diagnosis. She is a homeschool mom. They would not give her the diagnosis because her child was homeschooled, and they, in their words, could not rule out educational neglect. And I have been kicked out of pediatric offices myself. I have been profiled. Not every state is antagonistic to homeschooling families. I know I interviewed another mom who, when she goes to the doctor, she lies. She lies and says, I'm homeschooling for now, because she doesn't want to deal with the lash outs, because her child does have special needs, of them interrogating her. when mm-hmm. it is not a question in her mind anymore, who is the best person to educate her child. So if you're looking for in your state a homeschool friendly practitioner of any sort, we have occupational therapists, speech therapists, pediatricians, family doctors, everybody mm-hmm. Under the sun, because I personally here in Colorado, it's a little bit antagonistic at times. It depends on what community you're in. But truthfully, right. we never know if we're walking into a doctor's office or a practitioner or a speech therapist, if we're walking into an ambush or not. And unfortunately, Absolutely. The power differential is not in our favor. These are people who are mandated reporters who can just right. have an opinion that is grounded on absolutely nothing, no data whatsoever. They just have a personal opinion about homeschoolers mm-hmm. and they potentially could threaten our families. And I got sick of it. I got sick of it. So we created Kristen Face List, which I think is going to be a wonderful resource. It's completely free to homeschool families.
That's awesome. And I just put the website up, and I'll also put that in the show notes for you too. But it's a great resource. I mean, it was something that we had actually started at Sped Homeschool, but didn't have the funding to be able to continue. So all of our resources basically came off our website and about a year ago. And so I'm glad that there's another resource out there. So we will definitely be pointing people to that for you because
thank you. Yeah,
and this is so important.
Yeah. And it goes beyond, although it includes families where they need intervention services and special needs, but it goes beyond mm-hmm. that. It goes to family practitioners,
That's great.
Online schools.
I have very close friends who've had children medically kidnapped. And it is a scary, scary thing. Mm-hmm. And especially, when you know that what you're doing is right, but yet so many people don't agree with it. Mm-hmm. It does become like fearful, and you don't want to be doing that. You know, you don't want to be fearful and you're calling.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So awesome. Well, that's a great resource. So we had a couple questions submitted ahead of time by some of our viewers. So if you don't know this, if you're watching, that we have an email list and we send out who our guest will be live. And we send out the email the night before and we say, what questions you have for them, and you can submit them. And if they don't even pertain to what our guest is talking about, I usually will wrap up with the rest of them. But Christy's agreed to tackle them both, I think. And so we're gonna go over the questions that were submitted this week. But just know that if you go to spedhomeschool.com and join our email list, you will get an alert on Monday nights before we go live so that you can be part of the conversation. That's why we go live. And if you're watching live, you can actually put comments and questions in the feed right now. I know people are watching on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook for some reason didn't go live today. I've been having issues with them. So
we have to, because we multi-stream. It's you never know.
You just never know till you go live. So, but we'll load up the video afterwards.
Okay.
So, But anyways, so Deborah asked the first question. She said, my son has many diagnoses owing to his pre-op adoption abuses, prenatal exposures. To most people, he looks normal, whatever that is. We push him daily to reach his potential. How do we know that we know he's reached his academic ceiling? He's 17 and in 6th to 8th grade.
I love that question. And I, first off, when you sent that to me, Peggy, my heart was filled with thankfulness and gratitude. I'm so glad that he's in your home mm-hmm. And that you are educating him in a way that fits him. And unfortunately, I think my answer might not be satisfying because my answer is you'll never know. You actually won't.
Exactly.
And that's why when we have children with special needs, it's vital that it's very easy for us because, and here's the thing, it's not our fault. This, what I'm about to say, is not our fault. We are goal setters. We want our kids, we don't want doors closed for them. So we spend a lot of their educational years growing up looking at where they need to be because yes, we need them certain places. We want our kids to be literate. We want them to have the skills. We don't want doors closed for them. So we often, are always kind of looking ahead. And what I coach mamas that is vital to do when you have a child with special needs is to look at how far you've come.
Yes.
To focus on those areas, where they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or as a kid. I have a nephew who was born very, very sick, and how far he's come in only his first 6 years truly is profound. And it, even though he's not where he needs to be, I'm using air quotes for those of you who are only listening, he's right where he needs to be, because has amazing parents who are never going to give up on him. And they are giving him exactly what he needs in the very moment. And so, but what I feel like, based on zero data whatsoever, only my opinion, is that when we focus on how far we've come, it shifts our mindset to a more thankful place.
Yes.
And maybe absolutely. Even journal this. And the language and the stress levels and the anxiety and the worry about our children, it just diminishes a little bit. And it helps them soar even further. So I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know how far he will be able to go. I don't know if maybe that's in some areas and not in others. We actually don't know. We hear all those stories of doctors saying, you will never walk again. And then they walk. Within 2 years, they're walking.
Right.
So we actually don't know, because the brain is so complex. Even the best educational psychologist could try to give you an idea, and they honestly don't know either. So,
right.
So, that mindset shift is truly a gift. It's personal to me, because that is what I focus on to heal my perfectionism in myself too. Mm-hmm. And it not only helps perfectionism, but it helps in all areas. We can't keep focusing on where our kid isn't, because then we lose sight of how far they've come and who they are now and how amazing they are now. And it doesn't mean that you don't still set goals and have them the interventions they need. It does not mean that. What it means is, wow, you've made amazing strides. I can't wait to see how far you're going to go. It just changes the conversation and the mindset.
Absolutely. It does. Yes. And Deborah is watching live, and she said, that's exactly the answer I expected. And then she said, my son can do everything the expert says he'd never do.
Oh, and, Deborah, I want to be friends with you.
Yes.
So sweet. So that's awesome. Was very worried, Deborah, that I was going to disappoint you.
Yeah, no. So that's awesome. And I love that shift, because yes, we can get so caught up in the what we don't have, and we can so miss what we do have and what our kids have that should be celebrated. And yeah, so she gave you lots of hearts.
Oh. If you guys don't know this, I end a lot of my videos with kisses, because I just love these mamas. Oh, you've built an amazing community here, Peggy.
And Krista says, so good. Focusing on where our kid isn't.
I know Krista. Hi, Krista. Shout out to Krista. Awesome.
So, yeah, that's just amazing. We need that reminder, though, because we can get so stuck where our kids are stuck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can get pulled into that trap. Long ago, I learned that, you know, my kids are fighting battles, but it doesn't mean I need to get in the ring. I'm the coach. I stay on the outside. I give the perspective. I give them what the tools they need to fight, but I don't get in the ring with them. Because that's not my place.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I needed to hear that today. Thank you. No, really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, people think of us as the experts or the thought leaders or the authors, but you guys need to know we're hot messes over here ourselves. Like we.
Yes. If you knew what was going on in my house. And Oh, someday I'll be able to share this story, but it's quite a mess right now. Yeah. So we had another question on motivating teenagers. I think this is pretty typical. But you know, for those kids that are twice exceptional, they can beat themselves down so badly. And I don't know if this is the case of the guest but motivation is just hard to find. So any suggestions?
Well, here's the thing about motivation is the last list I made was over 19 items on why a child may lack motivation. But what's interesting and what I want to point out is not a single item on my list was laziness.
Yeah.
Not a single item. Laziness, or what we would perceive as that, please see my air quotes. That's a symptom, or what we perceive as that it's a symptom.
Right.
Of something deeper going on. And to me, it's a flag to investigate. And motivation is a topic near and dear to my heart. My dad has written extensively on motivation. We are considering collaborating with something regarding connecting his work and his research with homeschooling. But I think that motivation is really a flag to look deeper and figure out why. I mean, there are so many reasons, and I can list a few. It could be a learning disability. It could be mental health issues. It could be that something is too hard. It could be something is too easy. It could be so many things. And so, again, I'm going to disappoint the the listener, but I want to encourage you to focus on what can be done, because that's important to do, is what will intrinsically motivate your teenager. Teenagers need intrinsic motivation. Intrinsic, yes. Not extrinsic. You know, that book, Carrots and Sticks Don't Work, or another book that's fantastic is Punished by Rewards. Teenagers need to have the buy-in.
Yeah.
And even though you might be completely scared to death and worried that this kid is ruining his or her own life, without that intrinsic motivation, it won't catch. So it's really hard to, you know, in therapy, they talk about individuation. And I think that setting those boundaries here with your teen is so vital to help and support and help them find it. Even a subject they don't want to do, if they can see why it's important. Case in point,
is that why it's so important.
Yeah, someone who wants to go into a trade, maybe carpentry, for example. But by the way, I know nothing about carpentry. Why am I using this example? Okay, we'll just
okay. It'll be interesting. Yeah, go with it.
This is the ADHD brain. So, for example, say a child, a teen wants to go into carpentry. Never liked math. Never was interested in math. But they are highly motivated and excited about it. Guess what they're going to do? They are going to learn what they need to learn to be able to accomplish their goals. And it may be harder for them to pass those exams or whatever math or measurement, or I don't even know. People are going to be like, Christy, you should not have talked about this. But my point is that kids, when they have that intrinsic motivation and that goal, and they actually see what they need to learn in order to achieve that goal, that's where, that's the money spot. That's where the amazing things happen. So it might be time, and I don't know, because I don't know, but he might not have that direction yet. And that might be what's driving you crazy, is he doesn't have that yet. So, but sit back and help explore those options for him and be a student of him. So, but that motivation piece, it's so hard. I mean, gifted kids often present as lacking motivation because they're bored. And so motivation is a challenge. It is quite a nut to crack.
It is. And then when you think you figured it out, it changes.
But I think at the underlying level, the hope in it is that we are wired to love learning. God wired us this way. We are wired to love learning. So when we see a lack of motivation, there is a reason, because it's not actually how we were created. So that piece connected with how do I help my child be intrinsically motivated, and finding that, then that's when things will start to flower. And it might not be right this second for you. It might not. And that kills me, because what I want to do is just fix it. I want to give you the magic answer. And, but I want you to know you're not alone. A lot of people, it's one of my most common questions in Thrive Homeschool community. It is, girl, you are not alone.
Yes. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about your community before we we finish up?
Yeah, I'd love to. So we started Thrive Homeschool Community, and in the community lives the 8-step homeschool success framework. So based on our research, we have discovered 8 areas in the homeschooling life that are basically, if you're working on these 8 areas, you're going to have a successful homeschool. And we call it the 8-step homeschool success framework. Step one is finding your why. It's an entire workshop. It's 45 minutes, where at the end of that 45 minutes, you will have a sentence that tells you your why. And that can help you reframe everything moving forward. And so we have all the way from the last step is how to fall in love with your homeschool. It's like, okay, Christy, you've told me how to do this, but how do we fall in love with it? But the reason why I started Homeschool Community is I wanted moms to thrive and love this life. It is not a community for kids. It is nationwide. It is online. We have office hours, 4 office hours every month. We have a killer workshop every single month. And we also are about to dive into our spring fail-safe homeschool setup. We're all together as a community. We start doing the early work for building a beautiful homeschool for the next year. But what I often say is our biggest fear is that we're going to mess up our kids. Really.
Right. Yeah.
Honestly, that's why we're doing this. We just want, and so I often say Thrive Homeschool Community is where we build homeschools that our kids will thank us for when they're adults, because it encompasses so much. It's a growth mindset place. If you don't have a growth mindset, you won't like it. It's not for everybody, because we are people that just love to grow. We're willing to look into ourselves and do the hard work. And it's also a community where you are cared about and you are loved and you are known. We are not one of those online communities, one of those cheap $9 a month ones where you can't DM me and I'm just throwing up worksheets every month. It's not that type of a thing. I actually know you. We DM together. We care. So if you're interested, a lot of mamas in there need the support, because maybe their own spouses and the family around them is not supporting their homeschool, or maybe they're the only homeschooler that they know in their friend group. So women who need community and coaching, that's who we attract. And man, it's where my heart is. It's the reason why my email came right. My hello email is 3 weeks behind. And that's why, because I'm in Thrive every day, DMing back and forth with those mamas. I just love doing it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And thank you for offering that support, because so many people need it. And it's nice to know that there's communities out there that can really just hold hands, support, lead through, guide. We do need a lot of that. And so if you're feeling like I need some help, reach out to Christy. Now, from your website, christy-faith.com, is that where they can find that group?
Okay. Everything is christy-faith.com. Don't forget that dash. Although if you forget the dash, you'll get there anyway.
But okay.
Yeah. And my socials are all, I think on IG, I'm Christy Faith Homeschool. On TikTok, which is where I started. That whole thing started on TikTok.
Oh, no.
Christy Faith as well. So if you just even put that in the Google bar, you'll find me.
Okay. Awesome. And I'll put all those links in the show notes too, because I know you gave me all those URLs. So we'll be happy to put those in there. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for this conversation. It's been so good to address the twice exceptional learner and just some misconceptions, some encouragement, wisdom. You've just had so much to share today, and I appreciate all the input that you've had and things that you've had to give our audience, and just the continued work that you're doing. I just applaud you for all that you're pouring into others as well as your own kids at home while you're still homeschooling.
Thank you for having me on. It really was an honor, Peggy. You're a legend, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I know. I got a call this week and everybody's recommending you. And I was like, seriously? Okay.
Yes. Of course they are, because you're amazing. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, you had talked a little bit about growth mindset. And next week, our subject is going to be a bit of a growth mindset shift. If you are not into doing things that are new and different, you may not like this topic, actually. We're going to be talking about how to unlock your students' potential with AI. I've got an AI expert. She is actually a homeschool graduate. It's now training homeschool students on how to work with AI because a lot of people are afraid of it. And she said the workforce is exploding, looking for people with these things. So this is the part one of a two-part conversation that I'm going to have with Hannah about AI. First, we're going to talk about how it can help your student now. Not that they're cheating. They're going to use it. I use AI every day too, by the way, because I'm a horrible writer. And so there's just so many potentials out there. But then she's going to also talk in the second part of that interview about job possibilities and how the job landscape is changing because of AI and how your student can take advantage of that. So that's what our upcoming conversations are going to be all about. So hopefully you can join us for those things. So, yeah. So thanks so much again, Christy. Appreciate your time. And thank you, all of you, for joining us here on Empowering Homeschool Conversations. I'll be back here same time, same place next week. You can catch us. And until then, God bless and take care. And we'll see you all then. Bye, everybody.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian Prayer Meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian Prayer Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.